Let's continue on. You can see this. Go to your local supermarket and see how much is in the basket being checked out. Go to Sam's Club and Walmart and see how much are in those baskets and being checked out. And remember this, everything that are in the baskets at Sam's Club, Costco, and Walmart used to be in the supermarket basket of those when they bought in the supermarkets. So this applies to these little churches. I saw a program about the little churches. They can no longer support their ministers. And they can't provide enough money for them to have health benefits. One of the reasons is they don't teach tithing. Tithes and offerings. Not everybody gives tithes because they do not have an increase. But tithes and offerings are God's way. Not bake sales. I had one man tell me he would never attend a church where they don't teach tithing. And remember, in the financial crunch, your tithing is going to pay off. You may not see all the benefits down the line, but you'll see an awful lot of benefits. But if you tithe and stay out of debt when the economy collapses, you're going to see the blessings that you're not wiped out. Now think about all the time of the faithfulness of tithing that you participated in, and God remembers you in the end. Is that not a greater blessing than stealing tithes and offerings from God all along, and then you're totally devastated and wiped out in the financial crisis when it hits? You know, think about it, because it's between each individual and God. And that is not a pitch for more money, because if you don't give from the heart, all the pounding you over the head is not going to give you any increase in your spirituality or relationship with God or faith in God. That will end up being merchandising to take from you what you don't want to give. And if you don't want to give it from the heart, then that's a problem between you and God. And all of the ministerial things, like one man said, send me all your money because you can't manage it. I will manage it. However, he didn't tell you what the plans are. And that happened just before the downturn, right? Yes. All right, let's go on. Verse 3. No, continuing on here, verse 2. Hearken diligently to me, that is God, and eat what is good. Well, we can expand that out, can't we? The psalm says, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? That means His way. Jesus is called what? The bread of life, is He not? So when you cast your bread upon the waters, you are casting the truth of Christ to the world, correct? Now, in the efforts that we have done so far, we have distributed over 15,000 of the day Jesus died free. Because your tithes and offerings. We have distributed probably 5,000 harmonies of the Gospels. That's not counting all of those that were before the advent of the Christian Biblical Church of God. All total, from the first printing in 1974 to now, we're probably up to 30,000 harmonies that have been distributed. And I still get people saying, oh, I got your first harmony in 1974. When I hear that, I send them automatically the latest third edition. We have distributed probably about 8,000 Occult Holidays, God Holy Days books, free, over the internet. We have an advertisement on BibleStudy.org with a click-through to order off our website, invitation to peruse the website. That book, in its second edition, with the addition we added 72 pages, but it's not very much thicker, only just a teeny bit thicker than the first one, because in the first edition we used 60-pound paper. This one we use 50-pound paper. So we added that major appendices, how to understand Paul's difficult-to-understand scriptures, because one of the difficulties with the book was someone brand new would get the book, and they would run over to their Protestant pastor, and they would say, look at what it says here. And he says, well, you know, Paul took care of all of that, and they quote some of these scriptures. So we got them all nailed down. So you go through that new appendices, and I think you'll find it very, very interesting. Good. Now, we've also sent out, we have distributed of the Bible so far, of the Bible, and that has been our major, major expenditure. That was a big project. And in spite of how good it came out, when we reprint, we're going to improve it. There are a few typos in there. Some are obvious, some are not so obvious. And if you're like me, I'm not a good editor. I'll just give you a clue. Whenever you get a letter and you notice typos in there, my fault. Now, we have a full-time editor, Phil Neal. So most of the typos in the letters have been corrected. Now, with the Bible, we have distributed to the brethren mostly. We've distributed over 4,000 leather Bibles, which tells you, well, let's see, yeah, pretty much 4,000. We had 7,000 leather Bibles printed, which tells you of the 22,000 or 2,200 that we have on the mailing list, the close-in circle that we are serving are about 4,500 people. So when you go back, and we started with three and then a fellowship of seven, God has given us the increase, and we have just trusted in God to add to us the way He wants it added to us, you see. Now, I'll tell you what we plan to do here, beginning sometime shortly after the feast. So let's read on. Hearken diligent to me, eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. That's the richness of God's Word. This is not authority to eat fat. Fatness is typical of the best of the best. And in this age, that's what we need. And we have it here. Not just in this Bible. It's not a requirement that everybody have the Bible we produce. But it will greatly benefit you if you use it, because we've improved over all the difficulties that you find in the King James and other translations. But the gospel is not restricted to what we are producing. I want you to understand that. The gospel is contained in the Word of God in whatever translation there is for whatever people there are in the world, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Let's go on. Bow down your ear. That is, open it up, pay close attention. What do you do when you want to hear something and it's hard to hear? You cock your head over and you cup your hand and you listen, right? It means pay close attention and come to me. You have to come to Christ. But all who come to Christ have to forsake their way and their thoughts and their means, and accept God's way wholly, totally, 100%. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What is the everlasting covenant? The covenant of eternal life. Is that not true? Isn't that the most important thing that there is that we can receive in this life? Yes, it is. Remember what Jesus said. What good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? No good at all. All right. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, a nation that did not know you. That's a prophecy of the end time. That's a prophecy of preaching to the Gentiles. Shall run to you because of the Lord your God. Now, what is the ultimate fulfillment of this? Not only just the church down through history, but what is the biggest harvest, I believe, of all, but the 144,000 of Revelation 7 and the great innumerable multitude, right? See, so when we read the Scriptures, we need to think with the whole Bible together and realize that the prophecies that God has given us are not restricted to little small things. In the days that we are living in now, it is the whole world. So let's keep that in mind. And for the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. Verse 6, this is what we need to be doing. And people in the world. We don't know how many are out there trying to seek God, but in reading any of the articles as to why, droves of faithful are leaving the churches, chapels, cathedrals, and synagogues is because they don't feel God is there. So they leave, not necessarily to give up on God and go out into the world, but they leave because they can't find God there. But they're probably still seeking God some way. And anyone who seeks God, what did Jesus say? Seek and you shall find. God has the seven eyes, which the seven fires, which are the seven eyes of God, to go to and fro in the whole earth. So those who are seeking God, the eyes of God are going to know where they are. They'll come to God. Call upon Him, or seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Very important, because you read in the book of Jeremiah, there comes a time when God cuts it off, and He told Jeremiah, He said, Jeremiah, don't pray for this people at all. I'll just summarize it. Because they are so sinful and unrepentant, I will not hear you. And until there is repentance, God will leave them over to their own devices and turn them over for a time of tribulation until they learn their lesson that is a grievous and horrible thing to leave the living God. So He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, because we need to be converted here in our minds and in our hearts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's why all the things that Ray Kurzweil could write about, and all of the intricate computerization and enhancement of human intelligence is nothing. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. And let me tell you, you can hold up your Bible, any Bible that you have, and you have the Word of God recorded, You want to know how to obey the voice of God? It is recorded. Just like any transaction that is conducted in business, the terms of the transaction are written down, right? So you know. It's not contained in tradition, because tradition changes when it's passed on from word to mouth. It's written down so you can see, yes, God said this. If you don't quite understand it, you can go to the original. Now, you can have it in English, you can have it in French, you can have it in 400 languages the whole Bible has been translated into. That's quite something, isn't it? Yes, indeed. New Testament into 2,400, the Book of Mark, 2,400 languages, the New Testament over 2,000 languages. So God has kept His Word. All right? It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall certainly do what I send it to do. Now let's look at a couple of other things and put this together. Let's come to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke 24. Now we come to the time of the apostles, just before the ascension of Jesus into heaven to be accepted as a perfect sacrifice. We come to the time here right after he was resurrected and appeared to the disciples. Verse 44. And he said to them, page 1053. And he said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you when I was yet with you, that all things that were written concerning me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. And here it's recorded for us, right? Yes, indeed. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Very key, important thing. God has to open your mind to understand the Scriptures, because you're really sincerely from your heart seeking the truth. And if you are, he will begin to open your minds. He will begin to draw you. And from the Word of God, God is going to teach you. Now let's understand a very important thing concerning teaching. When anyone teaches or preaches the Word of God, it is from the Word of God, and there is a spiritual, how shall we say, there is a spiritual activity that takes place, which is this. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So it has a spiritual impact upon your heart and mind, correct? And if you have the Spirit of God within you, it will have even much more of an impact and will help you understand the Scriptures even more, correct? Yes. He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. That's how we learn. So anyone who's teaching, he better teach the Word of God. Can he teach anything greater than the Word of God? Now what I want you to do this coming Sunday, or maybe the Sunday after, don't pollute this Sunday, forgive me, but watch Joel Osteen. Now you will see a very interesting logo there. Have you ever seen that little brass logo with a little... It's kind of like Aladdin's lamp with a little flame over it. You know what that means? He's accepted by the one worlders. And you listen. Does he preach the Word of God? Does he preach repentance? Does he preach seeking the Lord? Or does he use certain Scriptures and preach the goodness of human endeavor to make yourself better? You be the judge. Now notice what he says. Verse 46, and he said to them, according as it is written, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And in his name, and that means by his authority, that's why they were apostles. That's why he chose the apostles first and worked with them to teach them, then opened their minds to the scriptures, and with the Holy Spirit empower them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to see some interesting things concerning that in just a minute. And in his name, repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Now, repentance and remission of sins, and as we know, baptism, receiving of the Holy Spirit, is a start. That's the beginning. After that is the creation of the character of God with the Spirit of God in your heart and in your mind. And that's the greatest work of God that is being done right now. Because all of those that God has called, He loves them, He has chosen them, He has given all of us God's Spirit, right? So that we can be born at the resurrection into the kingdom of God, the greatest thing that can be, right? So the work that is going on right now in our hearts and minds with God's Spirit is the greatest work of God that is being accomplished individually in every one of us. And so the more that we grow in grace and knowledge and the things that God wants us to have and to build the character as described there in 2 Peter, the first chapter, then when the resurrection takes place and we're resurrected and carried to the sea of glass and meet Christ in the air with all the saints, and that's going to be a wing-dinger of a celebration, believe me. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. All right, let's go on. For you are witnesses of these things. It's important, right? Eyewitnesses of the truth. For behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but remain in the city of Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high. Now let's come to Acts, the first chapter. Acts, the first chapter. Let's see some of this kind of rehearsed again. Now he appeared to them for 40 days with many infallible proofs. Now they had the experience that very few people had to see him alive after he was resurrected from the dead. So all the apostles and then James and then Paul, and on one occasion 500 brethren at one time, as Paul writes about there in 1 Corinthians 15. That is all. Less than 550 people experienced that. But those who did, coupled with the Spirit of God and following the lead of Christ as He opened the doors and preaching the Word of God and then later writing it, preserving it for us so that we can have it today, which puts upon us a great responsibility in the end time. Now let's read it here. Verse 4. No, let's go back to verse. Let's go to verse 1. Sometimes these sentences are very long. The first account I indeed have written, O Theophilus, and Theophilus means lover of God. So this may have been written to a single individual, but also prophetically it means to anyone who is a lover of God, right? Yes. Concerning all things that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up after giving command by the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also by many infallible proofs, like walking through walls. So you've heard in the past, have do the hat pin test. I prefer walk through the wall test. If you're bored again, fine. I'll go in this room, you stay in that room, you walk through the wall, and the wall remains the same, and you will appear in full shape on the other side, unharmed. Now, if you can do that, you're born again. If you can't do that, you must wait for the resurrection. So don't give me any of these stupid false doctrines concocted in the mind of men so they can say that they're born again now. Jesus was the first born from the dead. Have you died? Well, only in baptism, if you had the right baptism, but that's a symbolic death. He presented himself alive after he had suffered, being seen by them for 40 days, speaking things concerning the kingdom of God. And while they were assembled with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard of me." For John indeed, that's John the Baptist, baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit after not many days, 10 days exactly. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit after many days, after not many days. Okay. So then, when they were assembled together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time?" They were thinking of the physical kingdom of Israel. And his answer was, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority." And when he restores the kingdom to Israel, there are going to be two restorations. Did you know that? One, the spiritual kingdom to the saints of God who will rule under Christ, and we are called spiritual Israel, correct? Two, the physical nations of Israel for the physical human beings that survive from those nations when the government of God is set up on the earth. Now, they would not be able to understand that at the time that he talked to them, because they did not yet have the fullness of the Spirit of God. Now, verse 8, "But you yourselves shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Now, notice carefully what he said. "Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria." Now notice the next phrase, "and unto the ends of the earth." Well, what did he mean by that? Brethren, that is a prophecy clear down to our time and beyond, to the beginning of the kingdom of God on earth, to the ends of the earth. That's why Revelation talks about the whole world, all people, all nations. God has called us to something that is very big. The greatest promises given to any people anywhere to be the very sons and daughters of God. Think of that. Though we are the lowborn, God has called us to take over the world. Maybe you haven't thought it that way. He didn't call us just to be good people and to be better than our neighbors. He called us to love him with all our hearts, mind, and soul and being, to be trained, to be converted, to have our minds formed and shaped with the character of God, the mind of Christ, and to be resurrected from the dead and to rule this world. Because the government is on the shoulders of Christ. So whatever trial you're going through, keep your mind on that, because the trial, whatever it is, how great or how small, is nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us when Christ returns. So as the Bible says, comfort your hearts with that. See? Now, how is it being done to the ends of the earth? Or as the King James says, to the uttermost parts of the earth. It is being done through the word and the preaching of the gospel. It is being done through the Bible. Now let's come to Mark 13. Let's read another prophecy that Jesus said is going to happen in the end time. Mark 13. Let's pick it up here in verse 4. Peter, James, and John and Andrew came privately to him, verse 3, and said, "Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus, in answering, began to say to them, "Be on guard, lest anyone deceive you." Always be on guard. Right? Yes. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for it is necessary for these things to come to pass, but the end is not yet." And we've lived through all of these things too, haven't we? Yes. "For nations shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be earthquakes in different places. There shall be famines and disasters. These things are the beginning of sorrows. But keep yourself on guard, for they shall deliver you up to councils, to synagogues. You shall be beaten. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a witness against them." All of these things were fulfilled during their lifetime in type. But that fulfillment did not end the continuing fulfillment of that down through time. Remember this, there is an initial fulfillment, but there is a continuing fulfillment on down in time. They experienced every one of these things, but the end was not yet. Now notice verse 10. "And the gospel must first be published among all nations." That's why we have the Bibles. That's why right here at the beginning of the Bible that we just produced, I have a short commentary. Why so many Bibles in the world? Because God said it would be preached, the gospel, to the ends of the earth, and it is the Bible that contains the gospel. Right? Yes. All right, you've heard me say this before, but I'm going to repeat it again. Right today, there has been a 10-year contract that the United Bible Societies out of the United Kingdom, and also in conjunction with American Bible Society, out of Israel, right, comes the Word of God. Not out of Eskimo land, not out of Russia, not out of Africa, not out of South America, out of modern-day Israel. They have contracted with a printing company to print 800,000 Bibles a year for the next 10 years. And that company is in eastern China, which is right in the center of all of those countries that have yet to receive the gospel and that are going to be the focal point of all of the activity that we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 16. So God is going to give them a witness. Now, how God is going to work it out and how He's going to raise people up, we do not know. But I'll tell you what we plan to do beginning right after the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I've mentioned this about 4.5 years ago, and it came to me when I was reading the book on the way to the Elders' Conference, And the book is called Christianity Without Christ. Is that not what we are having in the world today? Yes, indeed. By Lloyd Gearing. I think I'll get that book out and give another sermon on it here right soon. But I concluded the way that you're going to reach people is not building a mega church, not building a huge corporation and starting up another school and spending a lot of money to have loyal corporate ministers rule over people to make sure that the corporation of the church receives money. But to do as God wants, when God punished Judah, what did he do? He said, I'm sending you off into Babylon and you're going to be a low vine, and if you go and you are faithful to me, I will prosper you as a low vine. So the way to reach people in the world today, the ones that God wants us to reach, is to go into their homes. Not build a big organization, but build the people. And reach the people that are seeking God. That's why right after I got to Cincinnati, after the plane landed, I called Ron Carrier, our webmaster, and I said, I want you to reserve the name for us, churchathome.com, churchathome.net, and churchathome.org. And we have had those domain names for now about 4 years, but now is the time to go. We have more books, we have more literature, and we have the Bible, and now we can reach those people. And Church at Home will start with new basic things. And I will use the 12-minute attention span created by television to begin to bring them into understanding the Bible. Do half-hour audios and half-hour videos, because now you can put videos online. Because you can't take brand new people and dump them into an hour and a half or 3 hours of sermons all at once. You must get their attention first. Now, how are we going to reach people in their homes? Because it will be called Church at Home. And we will lead them to the cbcg.org website where we have We will have about 1,500 sermons, all kinds of articles, have all of our books listed there, have all of the booklets that we have listed there. We will have the complete layout of everything that they will need, which we have been gradually building year after year after year after year after year. And it goes back to where we started with the original seven, where we met in someone's home. Which after all that we went through, we said, well, what does God want us to do? I said, well, I don't know, but I think we need to keep our noses in the Bible and let God lead us from there. And I resolved in my own mind that if my whole mission in life for me and my family and those seven was to see all of them safely in the grave, which all but one now are in the grave, and that's what God gave me to do, that's what I would do. I would not presume to set myself up as some big thing, start some big work, and run down the road and say, oh God, you got to bless this. This is your work. Church at Home is for this time and age. It's expensive to travel. They can't trust the preachers. There's nowhere they can go to learn the truth. Most of them have Bibles. Now, how are we going to reach them? Well, we'll reach them this way. There is a great, vast, already prepared audience, and most of them are truth seekers. They are homeschoolers and their children. And we can buy the mailing lists, and we can advertise. And with now being able to have television on the internet because they do it like PDFs, which means any number of people can log in and listen to it at various points in where it's going on because they download the PDF and the pictures come down just like a PDF document that you download. And if you download a PDF document and print it and you store it on your computer, you can't manipulate the type on it because it's a PDF unless you have the special formula to go in and change that. So we'll put advertisement on YouTube. And I think God will bless and prosper that because we're going to reach the people at the cheapest, most efficient way of doing it, and we don't need, like it happened many times in the Worldwide and Radio Church of God, sometimes for the first response over a radio program, they had to pay as much as $100 to get back that first letter. And that didn't guarantee that it would do anything to add to the numbers of the church, right? We're not interested in numbers, though numbers will come. We're interested in those who are seeking the truth and reaching them so that God can convert them and God can lead them. And they can understand what's going on, where they are, and what they need to do. Now, everything else will follow from that. Then there will be those who want to be baptized. That means that most of the senior men that we have in the church now need to be able to baptize people. And they can. You have the knowledge. Paul was baptized by someone who was not a minister. The important thing is correct baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit from someone who knows the Word of God. And so all of what those in the Christian Biblical Church of God have been doing all of these years to learn and learn and learn and learn, hey, be ready. We may have to apply it, and we don't know how it's going to go. But if God blesses it, it may go in a way that we have never thought that it would be possible, and it's not going to cost us a fortune, and we don't need, like some colleges, $34 million donated to it so they can build buildings and things like that. All we need is a television camera, a microphone, recording, and get it online on the website. Now, I see that's our part. Other churches of God have to do their part. So, brethren, pray about that. Pray also about all the churches of God, because all the churches of God have got to get their act together. There are too many authoritarian ministers, and there are too many ding-dong brethren with ding-dong doctrines asking ding-dong and stupid questions that drive ordinary people away. And they come sidling up with the sneers and looks on their face and say, "Do you know what the name of God is? It's Yahweh. I'm the only apostle for the 21st century." Go tell it to God, whatever it may be. "Ooh, we got a new calendar. We watched the moon. God gave the calculated calendar so you won't get into that lunacy." If you don't believe the calculated Hebrew calendar, go watch the moon. Let's go to the next track, please.